Now, imagine this, 23 countries in just 12 months. Sounds like a dream, maybe something you'd do out of high school, but what about doing it as a senior gap year? That's what Chris Herman did. At the age of 62, he's done exactly that, and he wants you to do the same. Chris, g'day.
Oh, good morning. Good to be here with you, Jamie and Charlotte.
You've been a busy man.
Well, it's just an opportunity came up, but it's too good to pass up.
Why did you do it?
Well, I found myself in a situation. It's not something I ever is on the wish list to do, but I found myself in a situation. Unfortunately, my wife had suddenly passed away, and our children and their families had moved up in the remote part of WA with their work in Darwin. And I finally found myself where I was 40 years ago, single, no dependents. And I thought, well, I've been watching all these young people take off in gap years, thinking, well, yeah, you should go get a job like the rest of us had to. But I thought maybe a gap year, in my case, my senior gap, is not such a bad idea after all.
Must have been a really obvious, difficult, hard time for you at that stage. Was this a way to maybe just take you away from that and to kind of look after yourself a bit?
Well, I mean, some people said you're doing it to find yourself, and not in that context, but I just felt, you know, that part of my life had come, that chapter of my life had come to an end, and it's a great chapter which I look back with great fond memories, of course. But there was another door there which in the next part of my life I had to open, and this is a way of just, to me, going out and exploring, and what better way to do it than a more adventurous way than a gap year.
Travel can be, I mean, it's so exciting, but it can also be really daunting. I think for people at any age, there's a lot of logistics involved, bit of risk taking. You never quite know how things are going to work out. How daunting was it for you, this prospect of kind of selling up stuff here, packing your life up, and just going on an adventure?
Well, it's quite an interesting, I guess, thing I went through. Like, my heart was saying, yeah, do this gap year. Like, we all have these crazy ideas, and this was my crazy idea. But then the Mr. Logic, I call it, the voice inside the head, was coming up all these, you know, it must have been 100 different reasons why not to take it. What, for going for 12 months? What, you're too old? What if you got sick, had a heart attack? All those things that wake up the middle of the night. But it was something quite different this time. Like, as every time that Mr. Logic came out, another don't be so stupid reason, you know, gut feeling would just say, just shut up, get on with your going. And so it was that fighting all those sort of Mr. Logic fear factors keep me in the comfort zone. But so glad I did.
It's interesting. They're always there, aren't they? Those thoughts of why you shouldn't do something, and they can really, you know, overwhelm you when you have an idea. Was it hard to push through that?
Well, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's every time you come up, that logic keeping the comfort zone is so strong. But like I said, it's just this time was different. The gut feeling was just equally strong. Just no, shut up, get on with it. You're going.
And then you get on the plane, and it's like, whew, I'm here. You know, this is happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, admittedly, there was when I arrived in Spain, and that's where the rubber hit the road. I was on my own, and like I had nothing booked. And that was the whole intent. I wanted to challenge myself, and so all I booked just one round the world ticket with three stops: one in Spain, one in Central America, one in Southeast Asia, 3 or 4 months apart. And just nothing else booked in between, just take each day as it come. In fact,
no hotels booked.
No, nothing booked.
Wow.
The only thing, when I arrived in Madrid, and because I had in mind to go to Valencia, so it was only when I was on the, found myself to the train station, and I got on the train, I thought, okay, well, the train is going that direction, so I started booking accommodation on the train. And then, so I booked a guest house for a few days, and then once I got to know, then I booked an apartment in the middle of Spain for a few months. But it was, going back to your point there, it was a few days when I was there in Spain, and it was thought, what have I done? You know,
Jeez, there must be something about Spain, and this is different to how you did it, but I remember going on my young gap year,
right,
and the first port of call was Barcelona, and I was away for 5 or 6 months or whatever on my own, didn't know anyone. And I remember going to Barcelona and going into the hostel I was staying at and having this kind of little moment of dread, thinking, what am I going to do for the next 6 months? And I was really scared in that moment. What did I do? I emailed my dad, and he went, just go downstairs and talk to someone. You'll be fine. And away you go. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Once the ball gets rolling and you meet people to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting the other way around. You know, like my children were sort of, you know, they were, I guess, a bit anxious to see what I was getting up to. And so the roles are reversed. Who's the more responsible one?
But they're checking in on you, making sure your credit card car doesn't bounce. Now, this trip included a lot of firsts for you. Obviously, getting on the plane and going with no plans, that's a first. What other things did you try for the first time while you were away?
It's little things. I had this little thought, if it made me feel uncomfortable, then I push myself to it. There are little things. I mean, not in terms of, from a point of view of risk, but things like surfing. My younger son always been pushing me to go surfing, but I found all the stars were aligned. The water was warmest in the Caribbean, and the conditions were perfect. So that's my first time surfing, and so that was and even like just that sense of stepping outside the comfort zone. Like I'd often stay in hostels because it was just a great community hubs in terms of information. And I often stay in private rooms, but sometimes I stay in a private room and I'd sort of go in there and I'd sort of walk in and I think, okay, this is, the rooms are full of all these people younger than my own kids, and so take a bit of a gulp and climb up to the top bunk because that's the only one left of it. Wake up in the morning and think, oh, this is pretty cool.
Well, how did they react to you? Because, and I mean this in a nice way, you would have been a bit of a novelty in that situation, I imagine.
Well, I was, the old man, I sort of wonder what they felt. Oh, like, great, we come away for, a bit of freedom, there's this old man. So. But it was actually, once you got engaged with them, quite often once I told the story, travelling around, backpacking, you're a legend. So that came up a few times. So
I want to ask about technology because obviously, you said you were sitting on the train booking accommodation for your next destination. You must be pretty savvy when it comes to using a smartphone and things like that. Some others in their 60s and 70s, perhaps not as much. Do you think that is something that puts people off this more risky wing-it travel?
Definitely. Like, I looked at the smartphone as basically my mission control. I know some people say, look, it's great to get away and leave all the, be not connected, but I would like to do it. Because number one, it was going back to, children, family. Like, I was travelling alone, but I never felt lonely in the true sense of lonely.
Yeah.
And one, while I met some great people along the way, it was that connectivity with family and close friends, which provide that base sort of social connection, but also just to have that connectivity. It's the first thing I do every country. I'd get a SIM card, so I'd always be internet connected because it's really just I don't know how we travel without it.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Incredible.
Did the trip change you?
It did in terms of life is a lot of stepping stones in terms of stepping outside the comfort zone. I was challenged the same way, like I mentioned before, those fears that I had, and it's one step further up now in terms of taking on new challenges. And I think that's the biggest thing. And also just mixing, there's a lot of young people out there doing gap years, and I just came back with that. They're inspiring, adventurous, confidence generation out there. And I came back with one message, like, we didn't have the same opportunity when we were that age, but we've got it now. Like, where's us lot? We're missing out on all the fun.
That's, we can do it. Yeah. When you got back, how was the first night in your old bed? Did it feel good?
Well, I suppose that's a bit different. A lot of people say, like, you get back, things haven't changed. But because I'd actually handed back my apartment keys and sold the furniture. So right. I've sort of really still been on a bit of a gap here.
There's a bit of a change when you got back as well.
Yeah. Well, I've still really been travelling around a bit because I sort of went across the other side of Australia, a bit of a catch up with family. And then once I got the book published and been doing little book launches around the country. So I still
you've written this book called My Senior Gap Year about this experience. What is the take-home message for other people who are either retired or they're approaching retirement and they're not entirely sure how they're going to spend their extra hours? What's your advice to them? Is this something worth exploring?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if travel's a passion or something you aspire to, just do it. Be prepared. All those fears are going to come in your mind. But even if travel's not your thing, the take-home thing that I learnt out of it is just listen to what your heart's saying. Be prepared for all those mythologic reasons. But and then follow your gut feeling, just do it, because, yeah.
I just want to ask that most predictable question that everybody asks after you get back from a big holiday. What was your favourite spot?
it was really too bad. I mean, the backpacking from country to country for 9 months was a fantastic experience. But in going back to Spain, that was spending just the first few months there was in Valencia was a highlight, just to get involved in local community things. Mm. But places like on the backpack in Guatemala, there are places that people said it's too dangerous to go. But I noticed people were going there and coming back, so I thought it can't be that bad.
Yeah,
so,
the proof was right there in front of you. Chris, just finally, this started really for you, when you lost your wife. What do you think she would have thought about what that gap year was like for you?
She would have been saying, "Look, just get on with life." And it's the same way I would have said it was the other way around. Just we've both had to move on. We had that great chapter, and just it's just. She would have been right behind it. If it was with my wife, it would have been a different sort of holiday.
Yeah. But she would have been really proud of what
I don't know if she would have been so keen on the top bunk in the hostel.
No, it would have been a bit of negotiating there, I think.
That's it. Chris, thanks for coming in and telling us about it. As we said, there is the book, My Senior Gap Year. You can head online for more details as well, myseniorgapyear.com. Chris, thanks so much.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you.